Hello and welcome to the Tuesday, April 7th, 2015 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I guess there's a new trend out there similar to geocaching where you're trying to find specific geographic coordinates in order to retrieve a little toy or something that's left behind there as a marker and replace it with your own marker. In addition to that, we now have USB drives that apparently are embedded in walls and the like, just exposing enough of the drive and the connector to connect it to your laptop. Interesting idea, but of course not without risk, because you never really know who plugged in what into this USB drive before you came along. If you ever participated in looking for these drives or connected to one of them, we're also interested in finding out if you did find any malicious software, whether or not it was left behind intentionally or accidentally. One issue, for example, we have seen in the past with, for example, infected USB picture frames and the like, was that in many cases, the infections of these devices were unintentional, just by, for example, connecting to an already infected test device that then copied malware over to the respective USB device. And of course, I hope if you're taking part in any activity like this, you're using essentially throwaway laptop that you can easily wipe and reset in case you are getting infected by a USB stick that you connect to. And if you're interested in RFID systems and NFC cards, there is a new project on GitHub with details how to build essentially an RFID card emulator. This is a piece of hardware that essentially emulates or is able to emulate various contactless card standards, and all you have to do is you connect it to a PC via USB, and then you can essentially upload various profiles into the card emulating whatever information you would like to load in the card. This makes, for example, pen testing and such of RFID systems a lot easier, because you don't need to keep around a ton of different cards that you may run into. Also, of course, it's a lot more flexible because you can change and alter any aspect of the card, including things like unique IDs or such that are not always writable on different cards. Pretty neat project, and it's hosted at GitHub. And if you're looking into simpler ways to analyze malware, earlier today, while doing some research on some malware, I ran into a service that's, well, at least new to me, hybrid-analysis.com. This service does run your malware that you upload in a virtual machine and then collects all kinds of information about the particular sample that you uploaded. One feature I haven't at least seen in some of the other similar sandboxes is that you can download the PCAP file, so the packet capture was collected while the malware was run. It of course does do a virus total report on it, but then you get all kinds of suspicious API calls, a summary of the network traffic, like what IP addresses it connects to, and similar issues from this sample. The other thing I really like is that for each one of these items, like for example, the list of IP addresses it connects to, you do get a link to show similar malware that matches this signature. So now you can see what other malware may, for example, be connecting to the same command control server. And to add to it, it also has a pretty nice search function where you can search for IP addresses, host names, and the like, and get a list of malware that matches that characteristic. And talking about malware, there's an interesting blog post about a piece of malware that apparently installs malicious Chrome extension. The author of the blog came across this malware when he tried to install a Chrome extension that appeared to be malicious, and shortly after the extension was uninstalled, it was reinstalled without an apparent trigger. Turns out that a script in the background is just waiting for this particular extension to be uninstalled and will then immediately reinstall it. This extension is not in the Google Chrome store as such. It's of course not monitored by Google and Google cannot remove it. What's not clear at this point is how exactly the initial infection happened. So the author of the blog post here found the malware on the system, analyzed in a pretty neat analysis what it does, but how the initial infection happened, that's unclear at this point. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.